really annoying the spirit for 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes, bring the spirit. As you bring the spirit, try and get an attendance. I trust it's better you close your eyes so that you won't be distracted. The purpose of closing your eyes is not just to get you shot, but to communicate with him who is invincible. The Bible says the invincible one, the only wise one, the only potent, the immortal one. I would like order. Order. I like godliness, please. Just go ahead and pray. Close your eyes. Close the door. Obey me. Close your eyes. Somebody will be looking at you. Close your eyes. Manage and close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes and pray. Pray in the spirit. The reason is that you need to focus on him who is inside. The Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The power we seek is inside of us. The best you can do is to stir it up. Stir it up. Your victory is inside. Your victory is inside. It's not outside. Somebody pray in the spirit. Then attend us. Then attend us. For he that is in you is greater. And for this reason, we look inside. As we gain ascendance, begin to call for the things that is in God in the spirit. As we gain ascendance, we begin to see the eyes of your understanding will be open and light. God will do a miracle once again this morning. The miracle of sight that you will see. My God. Pray for 3 more minutes. 3 more minutes. Don't embrace Abrahantaya. Make sure you are focused. Make sure your heart is gathered together. The Bible says, if thy eyes be single, then your body will be full of life. Come to a place where your heart is gathered together, where your soul is monofocused. For he that prayeth in the spirit will be quiet himself. He builded up himself. Sabran Kebana, Kapetande, Deprepos, Kapatamantela, Sabra Kapamante, Deprendo, Kapaparantede, Deprepos, Kapatamananta, Rabatapate, Koko, Kapatamananta, Amenente, Dembrete, Dinata, If you are at the back, come closer. It seems as if some people are not hearing you. If you are at the back, come closer. Then you see me. The reason is that I won't be shouting too. And there is a force in the spirit. I think you can do better. Right away then. The people on that road can come close. child that she said for you can come closer now. You can still come close. Hallelujah. 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 Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. I want to speak to you a little on what I try to take heed. Take heed. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. You are there, say amen. Okay, let's read. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. And so vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire, and oftentimes into the water. Sometimes when I read this place, you know, there is I don't know the doctrine to your thoughts when you are coming up the body of Christ. How long have you been born again? No, sit down, sit down. This is a discussion, this discussion. How long? 11 years. So I think you qualify for this, my question. I hope you know it's not about the years you have been born again. In fact, it's an indictment on you. How long did it take Jesus to produce apostles from fishermen? How long did it take him? Sit down now. How long? 3.5 years. It's not been taken long. It's a specific number of years. 3.5 years. And he left. Do you know the mandate that Jesus was carrying? He was sure that these people can deliver on that mandate after 3.5 years. That means that there is an educational system that they were subject to. And the wicked men are so sure that if any man dares to pass through them, you will not become anything but an apostle. In fact, they spoke about many of them beyond the 12 apostles. If Jesus sent 70, if Jesus sent 12, the same result. He sent 70, the same result. Haven't you answered? If he sent 120, the same result. So, the target of God is not really about having special people. Maybe apostles, prophets, and all those. No. If you pass through the training they pass through, you can do what they can do. The only thing different from the two of you is the election of grace. That God has decided that two people will not be doing the same thing, so that work will be divided. Are you getting the point? Somebody has to hold this end, and another person hold this end. Everybody will not be holding that end. Who will now hold this end? So, after some time, we found out that when the... Now, are you with me? Follow me. Follow me. You don't follow me now. When we get into the matter, you'll be lost. I'm just trying to build up your heart. When all these people were passed through this educational system, the time came, we found out that there are even many of them that were according to the 12 apostles. But they didn't allow the educational system to pass through them properly. You know the implication. When empowerment came, it is always empowerment that reduced people that were totally subject to the educational system of the kingdom. Remember what we were discussing yesterday. that first of all, Jesus had to establish men on things that pertains to what? The kingdom. So, when the Spirit was now poured on the day of Pentecost, we now found out that there are many among the 12 that did not really submit themselves. I'm not saying they didn't, they tried. But we now found out that there were much more outside of the 12 that submitted to that school far better than the 12. And it was evident. It is always evident when the Spirit is now poured upon people. And then empowerment to deliver in their destiny begins to come upon them. It is then that we now find out people that really submitted themselves to the school of the Spirit. Because those days are not the days for training again, they are days for manifestation. Okay, take for example, somebody like Philip and Stephen, they are table servers. You don't even know what that thing is. I know some people will come and say they are ushers, that in those days it's worse. So we now found out that these people are serving their ushers, or whatever, serving people. Their job is that the Bible said that there was dissension among the Greeks and the Jews and on the matters of food. Remember, it was when Peter answered that we now understand the place that they relegated this man. He said, are we going to leave the ministry of the word and prayer and then serve tables? In other words, he's trying to say that there is a special place that is kept for serving men. So let's leave the unimportant one for these people. But they were not prepared. You are not getting my point yet. My point is, it is better bring it. I'm not. This one is too low, and I don't want to shout. Now, the important thing is who submitted his or herself to the school of the Spirit. When the day of revelation will come, which is when empowerment comes, what we will see is people who pass through preparation and are ready. So, on that day, the calling on your life is irrespective. What is most important then is the preparation and how much you have submitted to that educational system. So, before Jesus brings a new empowerment from people and a territory, one of the first things he does is to pass them through an educational system. He has an end in view that everyone that submitted himself to that will turn out to a certain kind of man that will be an accurate witness to the territory that God has assigned to him. The scope of kingdom business, I don't want to go there, is territorial. So once the Spirit of God comes upon men, one of the things you begin to notice is that people will begin to find their territory. If the ones the anointing come, your territory will be defined. People will know that as far as this side is concerned, let's leave it for this person. He has special grace for this side. See, those things are not, you won't know them until empowerment comes. Meanwhile, in the seasons of training, process, education, those things are already rooted in your heart, but they are not evident because empowerment has not come. So when the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, do you know what we noticed? We now notice that there are certain among the 12 apostles, we never heard them, their name again. Should we call them? You know them. You know the 12. Did we hear about them? But the Bible dedicated many chapters to the life of Stephen. He dedicated a lot to the life of Philip. Many accounts, strange things broke out of the life of these two men. Even much more than the 12 saw. We now notice that it is not about title or the position you have. It is about how much you yielded to the Holy Ghost. So you can carry a violin. Or you are just a minister. But because you submitted to the school of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will leave everybody and put his hands on you. You know why? You are the one that has fully represented the school of learning. And everything you have embedded in you, allowed him to embed in you, is a representation of what he wants people to be in that mode. Do you know what will even happen? The Holy Spirit will give you other emphasis and begin to push forth the kingdom through you. Because you are the best, you are the only accurate witness. So it doesn't matter whether you stay who you are serving, suddenly the anointing will come on that minute. People will eat your food and behave. So the person that is a preacher, if he doesn't submit, you are the one. He don't deceive yourself like this. Should I even tell you, I didn't start like this. Do you know why I have authority to do some of these things? I didn't know I was standing. I was an usher for many years, not 1 year, for many years. I graduated from being normal usher to being having position in ushering department. You know, if you come in ushering department, if you come in department, if you are in fire or whatever, they are now, so they are positioned there. Some people keep money, some people record, some people do many things. I rose to that one. From there, now I rose to assistant. Then from there, I became the chief usher for 2 years. By the time I'm through, I've been 6 years. 6 years. 6 years. And then they now notice me. You didn't know what happened. Let me tell you my story. Those days, the people I trained now became leaders. I'm the one that trained them all. They now became leaders. Meanwhile, they ignored me. People who don't tell you their weakness, let me tell you my own. I felt bad. I should have at least followed them. Meanwhile, I should be ahead of them all, but I should have at least followed them so that, you know, it is not easy for you. Somebody came to me and told me, it is actually true. It is not easy for you to disciple people without a position. That is why. No matter how somebody tells you, it's not about position. My brother is about position. It is not the main thing. But if you will be effective in ministry, you need a position. So, platforms are where you now, you know, believe what God has given you. Enforce the rules of discipleship that God has taught you. If you don't have it, you don't have it. So people will never get to know what you know. Now I'm not saying that's the most important thing, but over time you will need a platform. Platforms are not just this. Are you with me? This is not just a platform. It was when this was happening that an man came and I asked her, what is happening? Look at this, if I'm the one that trained her. Look at this, brother. Look at this. Look at this. Is this where we are stopping? You know what God told me? He told me that this is not why he called me. He even gave me fasting and prayer and study to do. I felt bad, but I knew God was talking to me. You know, this day, today, I thank God I obeyed. My name would have been different. You know the story of Ephraim? Yes. A cake that is undone. May you not be that day of your manifestation. May you not be undone. May they not find that you still have anger issues. You still have immorality issues. You still have issues with addiction, pornography, whatever. You are a leader, you know. You are strong, but you have come to a place now where you people don't know. If you don't understand the importance of what I'm saying, when you climb up, you can't report to anybody. Certain things you are passing through becomes an issue. But when you are led, if you have those issues, you can report to your leaders and they will help you. But when you are now a leader, when you should be helping others, you need help. What happened to you? You were Ephraim. You were Ephraim. You didn't stay well. So you came into prominence when you are not ready. And guess what? When you come into prominence, what happens to you is that nothing new happens to you. There is no change there. In fact, the anointing, prominence, manifestation makes obvious your strength or your weaknesses. God does it. The anointing, manifestation, the stage, the platform does not change you. What it does is to make obvious either it's your strength or your weakness. If there is a weakness, you still retain it. It will make it obvious. If there is a strength you have, it will make it obvious. There are certain people you never knew how humble they are until you now give them certain positions. You never know their meekness. You know what is meekness? Power under control. You don't know who is meek until you have given the person power. If you never get power, you don't know it. So you can think you are meek now until you now have power. You can think you are humble until you now have power. I went to Kaduna many years ago for a crusade. Professors were everywhere. You now reach the point. Suddenly, my suit jacket was soaked with so much glory. Have you heard this thing before? There are two things I've said you have mine, and I began to wonder whether you have listened to my message. Now, my suit jacket was soaked with so much of God's glory that I weighed it. Half of the crowd. I don't want to tell you what happened there. It was strange. The glory of God was so tangible that it's killable. Professors now rushed my suit like this. I held it and were praying. Professors, my brother, have you not arrived? Let's tell ourselves. We are human beings. Let's tell.
In fact, at that moment,
I felt the change. Glory to God. Meanwhile, there are two voices we hear at that point. Now, the one you will heed to is dependent on the training your heart has received before you came to that place. The decisions you make on the spot of the moment is as a result of what your heart has been trained with. You can't be more than you have been. So I heard the voice. I don't know whether it's because there are many voices. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, and none of them is not without signification. In other words, Satan has voices. I hope you know. God has voices. But even you have voice, self. There is the voice of self. So sometimes, it's not even Satan, it's self. That day was self. You don't make a move. This is what we are talking about. That even the priest, everybody, that obedience to the faith, Satan can interpret Christ to you. He can interpret weakness to you in such a way that it will rhyme with the moment. You even bring up the first scriptures. The day you find out Satan can quote scriptures, that's the day you will stop being deceived. So you don't know. He saw Jesus crying, for it is written. For it is Satan quoting scripture. So if you think anytime they quote scripture, the matter is correct, you have been deceived. For Satan himself can work. That's what they did to some ladies. Somebody that called himself a pastor. Now, second, you know, how many of you is hyper-grain? You are gone. Quoted scripture. And then slept with the lady. My sister, there is no amount of scripture that they will quote that will make you to fornicate. Fornication is fornication. It is sin. Are you now seeing the problem now? What you don't know is that they are quoting scripture that Satan can quote scripture too. As a matter of fact, the reason why Satan is very good is that he knows more of the letters than you. That is why most times for you to defeat him, you have to go beyond the letters and reach out to Rema. Because if it's about the letters, he knows it more than you. How much do you know from the Bible? You don't know much. You can't imagine how much Satan knows. He knows it back to back. There is a Muslim that is a CRS teacher. CRS, Christian religious knowledge. He knows Bible more than you.
But when that thing happened, the Holy Ghost now spoke. He didn't speak, he spoke, but not in words. We don't have time to go into that. That there are many modes of communication that God uses. If there is a strong matter in my life, and God has used other means, and I'm not hearing, and he knows that if I step out, something very heavy will be wrong with my life. And the consequence will affect many other people. There is an angel that always holds me on my right shoulder. If he holds me that way, I will know that this matter is very serious, that there is no other option. I have done it 3 times in my life. And those seasons were seasons that if had it been, I followed through with what I was doing, I won't be here today. So, I'm just trying to tell you that there are many communication modes. So the Spirit of God can just leave substance in your heart. Like this. There are some people, he works in many other ways too. There is one of my friends, he's a prophet, his own works like Urim and Thummim. You know what is Urim and Thummim? Urim and Thummim is where it is God, should I go? If he's here, Urim will be doing like this. If he's no, Thummim will be doing like this. So on the garment of the priest, there is always Urim and Thummim. So his point is that once he prays that prayer, he will start feeling a wind on his right ear. If the wind comes on his right ear, I know some of you like that. that is not the normal way that God speaks. He speaks with a noise. Once your spirit is recreated, there is a mingling. There is a mingling. If your spirit is recreated, born of the Spirit of God, by the license that justification has afforded the Holy Ghost, then the Spirit of God can mingle with your spirit. You know what it means? If I shake your hand now, okay, let's wait. If I touch you like this, you know we are touching. If your body is hot, I will know now. If it's cold, I will know. Do I need any special means of, once I ask, as long as you are touching, I can discern your temperature. Are you getting how the Holy Spirit communicates? Your spirit is mingled with the Spirit of God. So if the Spirit of God is not pleased, it doesn't need to say it. You will just feel it. Because why? The two of you are mixed. Sometimes you will feel joy. You can't explain it. You feel it. Sometimes you say you will draw back. You will know. So it is that. That operation is what we call discerning the movement of the Spirit. When you know it, you know it. You know that God doesn't want you to move ahead. This is the primary way that God communicates with believers. So, don't go and be looking for. But that is how my friend functions. If he's moved, he left here. So God spoke to me. And I have to tell them that is God. You know, it is not necessary for me to say it. But because it has become a warfare and a contention for me, it is not necessary. Had it been, it didn't come to the point where that thing is going on in my heart. I can continue with what I'm doing itself. But once that thing drops and you don't address it, then Satan will take advantage of the moment. It was when I finished that day that I know that God has worked meekness into my heart. We are seeing it all. You better believe it. We are seeing things. We are seeing things. So, and after seeing all those things, you still consider them not a limitation for you to relate with the list of the saints. Then we can say that you are now meek. And because of it, the challenge with that type of lifestyle is that people can take you for granted, but it's not an issue. Humility is humility. No, there is no way you can go too low in being humble. There is nothing like going too low. The lower you are going, the better for you. might not be good for the people doing it to you, but it is good to you. It is good to your soul. You know, these things are the things, it's for leaders. These are the things, I'm telling, my teaching today is take heed. These are the things that when you take heed to them, when you now appear, you'll be complete. When the men appeared, some of them were at Antioch. Even before Antioch, the scripture says they took knowledge of this man and knew that they are what? That they are what? They have been with Jesus. So whatever that is in Jesus has now been transferred into them and it has become their very embodiment, their carriers, those realities. So after some time, it does not matter that Jesus has left to heaven. Is it not true? Can it be said about you that it does not matter that Jesus is in heaven? What's your name? Chris. We need to come to that point. That's where you are now in witness. It does not matter that Jesus is not here. If you are here, you will produce evidence enough for us to know that Jesus is here. So you shall be witnessing. What? Unto me. Meaning that even if Jesus is not there physically, there is so much evidence in and from your life to attest to the fact that Jesus has died, resurrected, and is seated. Amen. I hope I will be able to finish my lecture this morning because in a short while I will have to go and pray so that because this evening you trust God to me. I know some of you are strong, but me, I'm not strong now. You are strong now, is it not true? Me, I'm not. I have to depend on God. And prayer is one of the signs of dependence on God. If you don't pray, where will you, what is your plan? As you are not praying now, what is your plan? And my brother, what is your plan now? Somebody told me he has prayed, that one of the things that frustrates people is unanswered prayer. If you have unanswered prayer, raise your hand. Jesus. You have. Should I shock you? There is no such thing as unanswered prayer. The problem is that you prayed amiss. This is the way God does. If you pray amiss, He will leave you. He will continue supplying grace for prayer for you until you now pray your right prayer. And then you see that it doesn't take much. God can, the standard in the kingdom can show. Can't change it because of you. So there are many things about prayer I can't tell you. Some of the things you are calling unanswered prayer, the prayer quota it takes to turn the banner so your advantage has not reached. It can even be about your family. The ordinances that is in your family powering, giving darkness, that power over you has been instituted. The priesthood has been servicing it for 100 years. And you just prayed 1 3-day prayer with fasting. And then you want God to fall from heaven. You are joking, my friend. Are you with me? You need to know that God is the holder of divine scales of justice. You don't even know what it means. Before you understand grace properly, you must understand God's justice system. This is what Satan knows. He knows that even demons know it. So when Jesus wants to cast out some of them, wants to deal with them, they will tell him, our time has not come. What do they know? You don't know anything now. You don't know that there is such a thing as our time. Even demons know it. And they can say to Jesus, how much more you? The realm of the spirit is legalistic. You have to be skilled and schooled. This my brother is looking at. This is what makes you a master in the things of God. When the Bible says game master, this is what it means. When you reach that point, you be living as if Satan doesn't exist. My God. Yes, it's possible. Everybody in your family can be bound, and they'll be wondering why you are living. Nothing of the things happening in your family is touching. It will be obvious that there is a different philosophy that is powering your life. Do you notice what happened in the last 2 minutes? That there is a switch in the spirit. One of these, I'm not sure there will be one of these days. You will learn how things happen. How to switch in the spirit. Some of us, when we minister, there are people that come with us, so do you know? You don't know. You have to know for your own benefit. So, because there are people that come with us, if I'm talking to you and pointing at you, you are not free again. That's why I tell people to sit in front, because if I'm looking at you and pointing, once I point at you more than 3 times, then something is already happening. Either in you or on your behalf. I have found out this thing after 10 years. I went for a ministration in December last year. How many of you know, have heard of YMR? How many of you heard of it? And you will know. Young Ministers Retreat in Lagos. I appeared that more than 10,000 people received it. The crowd was too much. Don't be in a hurry to carry Michael. When you see crowd, you will now know you don't have anything. You have not even proved to 50 people what you have. Let's be humble. Let's say, there is such a thing as due time. In due time, what will God do? So, that's not even my point. My point is that I'm trying to explain to you just a little of the oppressions that go on when people like us minister. So, when I started ministry, then the eyes of one of my people was open. And then he saw, there is an angel that is called the angel of God's presence. That is when that angel has finished his ministry. If I'm talking, I will get your attention. Even if I'm talking small, that's why I've gotten your attention. I'm trying to tell you what happened in the last 2 minutes. So when that time reached, you can't resist my words again. If I tell you to pray, you pray. I have seen people, they don't like me, but once that is switching, then even in that point, your heart will begin to pour. Certain things will begin to happen, operations that is beyond your will, you can start. Then the protocol that is only given to the Holy Ghost will be ignited in your heart. You'll be brought into economies that you never knew possible. Some of your angels will touch you, coals of fire will burn in your body. This is not my thinking. If it's my target, the next 5-7 minutes, you will see your leaders. You will learn it. It's not by chance. 100 times, it will still happen. My brother, I've come for many meetings this week, and the same thing is happening. It's not about myself. I'm telling you, I started telling you are strong. I'm telling you that there is something you do. The Bible says that this is the law of the counterfeit. That it is only a law. If the fire is burning there all night till the morning, the fire should by no means work. Once the fire goes off, you are the one that has put yourself in trouble. But if fire is burning there, be sure that there is a law that powers what you are doing. If you have not found out the law that powers the things you do in the kingdom, you will stumble on it today, tomorrow. You won't know how that thing happened. Have you been ministering and somebody, I don't know if you people have even come to that, you've been ministering and somebody now said, Christ, you want them to know the way God moved there. There was revival today. Just because someone fell down. To show you, is God working without you? He's not you. But you were deceived, it was you. Tomorrow they will not give you mic. You want to do it, it won't happen. Because God was just working on his own. It so happened you are carrying mic. If you have become a system, you will replicate it 1,000 times. So for you to be able to replicate something, you must understand it. Without understanding, there is no possibility of you replicating what has happened now. You must understand the law. That's what I'm telling you, that there is what? A law that powers the manifestations of things in this realm. Understanding of that law will bring you to a point where you become consistent in replicating those manifestations. Because you now know the things behind the manifestation, and you know how to trigger them. So the angel of God's presence began to move. The sister saw it. And it was moving with something like a blanket. It started from this side. The crowd was much. And it was moving. It was moving. Finished this side. Went upstairs. Finished. Come back. By the time he finished that movement, he said, he seemed as if I knew. And now turn to the keyboard. My brother, find me a good keyboard. We need to fly. And come. You know, I don't want to go there, but if God wants to communicate, his communication comes in packet that is called sound and light. So if you don't know how sound and light works, you are in trouble. Even this word I'm telling you, this word I'm speaking now, the way your spirit receives it is as light. That is why the eyes of your understanding have to be what? I don't even want to go deep into that. Because after Paul made that prayer, he now came and said that there is such a grace that I have. That grace is a grace that have the capacity to make all men see. Have you heard of it? So there is such a grace that can make all men see. See what? See what? Huh? Somebody was speaking. Somebody is talking. And he's saying that, as I'm talking, you can see what I'm saying. How can somebody see words? What can happen to words, and then somebody will now see words? Because if you can't see, what you can't see, you can't become. It is as you behold, you become more. So that means that whatever can happen to you to receive that sight, it is a paramount and fundamental thing. So Paul made this his number one prayer, that the eyes of your understanding will be what? Now, do you know why? As he's talking, you need to see. The question is, what makes somebody see what is spoken? Say understanding. It is understanding that makes you see. And once you understand something, check it. Once you understand something, a picture will come into your heart. Is it not true? That means that it is understanding that makes you what? See. What a man has not understood, he has not seen. And if you have not seen it, you can't become it. Every effort is still in futility. So, Paul gave himself to certain prayer. And he trusted God for certain grace. That grace is the grace that can make all men what? So he said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Because no matter how much light is shining here, there's a reason why he's making that prayer. Because I told you that there are two packets that God communicates. One is sound, one is light. Now, You have to pray for your facility of connecting with that light to be activated and heightened. He said, what? Eyes of understanding, what? Enlightened. So there is an increased capacity for you to trap light packets from God. Remember, his communication comes as light. I want to ask you, let's say I'm blind now. And then you put flowers, every all kinds of blinding lights. My brother, will I be aware? No matter how much light is shining, if the eyes of your understanding is not open and enlightened, you will never come into the economy of that life. That it is on that basis that Paul now makes a prayer. That the eyes will be enlightened. You know, that's not my point. My point is that God communicates by sound and what? Light. Now one is light. There's another one, sound. I don't have time to go there. On the door of Pentecost, the Bible says that there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And the Holy Ghost filled that room. And then they appeared upon their heads. What? Cloven tongues of fire. You know what it means? It means that in heaven, somebody traveled to heaven. And saw that in heaven, what was there, what they were concocting was sound. By the time that sound entered the extreme, it became fire. You need to know what sound is. There is a place David traveled into. Do you know how David produced his instruments? Those instruments they are seeing in the Bible. Oh, am I going here? There is what we call the hosting of a spirit. Can you host a spirit? There is such a thing as hosting a spirit, hosting God's presence. Now, let me explain to you the mystery behind hosting so that it is a consistent mystery. I don't care the spirit. Follow me now. Now, a spirit is in a realm where it is comfortable. But you need the advantage of that spirit in this realm. Meanwhile, in the realm that spirit is resident, in a realm that is traditional to that spirit is comfortable there. But you need the presence of that spirit in your own realm so that by his presence you will gain advantage. Are you with me now? That means you will have to learn how to transfer the presence of that spirit from the realm that is comfortable to your own realm. And that spirit will not know that there has been a change in realm. So, if it's a demonic spirit, the demonic spirit will leave his realm and come into your realm and will not know that he has changed any realm. That is the principle behind hosting God's presence. That the presence of God will live, because the presence of God is actually the nativity of heaven. So before God comes, one of the things that happens is that he begins to pour out his presence, because his presence is, you cannot have God in a place that his presence is not strong. So, what happens is this, you must learn how to prepare a place in such a way that God will leave his nativity and enter your own nativity. And then you won't know that it has changed realm. Can you do it? This is what it means to host God's presence. This is how we trap it from the realm of the spirit. So, if you know how to do it for long and well, the Holy Ghost will become so comfortable in you that you will refuse to leave. People like Benny, he said that he stayed for so long that he wanted to leave. And just to stay with me for a little more time. How many times have the Holy Ghost begged you to stay? He is not enjoying it. Now your house, some of you, your house is dirty. The problem is that you can leave. You cook. You know, sometimes you finish cooking and the pot is dirty. You pour water and leave it for 2 days. And leave it inside your room. The challenge with having your house that way is that you can live that way in your house. But you being the temple of the Holy Spirit, He can't live with you that way. On your own, you can live that way. But if He is going to be home place, but the president cannot come in any house like that. You have to keep the house in such a way that you won't miss us all up. You now know why God is running away from you. It's not as if He doesn't want to come. You don't know how to host Him. And it's not, this is our principle. It's not sentimental. My brother, God doesn't respect faith. If He is this late, He will land this thing. She will carry so much of God that if she carries this man, everybody will be knocked out. Not because she is intending to do anything, but because she's carrying God. And once you carry God, you will carry His entourage. The scripture calls Him the Lord God of hosts. Meaning that a king doesn't come alone, my friend. If a king enters here, there are things I'm teaching you big matters. And I'm making it in such a way that you can live here and go and practice it. Yes. You will see the results. The big things I'm making it simple. I'm telling you how those things happen. For example, if somebody higher than you in rank spiritually enters there, if there's an angel working with you, that angel will be mobilized for that person's ministry. Yes. Until that person leaves, that's your angel. We continue serving that person. If president enters this town, everything the governor has will be mobilized to serve him until he leaves. Is it not true? I know it is hard for you to understand, but it's actually the truth. So, when you come to some meetings like this, there is a way people will pray and prepare their hearts. High ranking angels and beings, they come in that meeting. But there is nobody high enough in rank to activate their ministry. So nothing will happen. You just see something. You know that God could have done more than this, but nothing more has happened. You know why? How can a local government chairman be commanding the commission of police? Just because 15 people died in your local government. Are you with me? And that will demand him coming because that amount of people cannot die and will not summon his attention. Are you getting what I'm saying? But he then comes. When he comes, you can't give him command. But he will be there, to observe matters until maybe somebody like the governor appears. And then you'll be shocked at what will happen. So do you know why I'm saying this? Some people experience angelic ministries, but when somebody knows how to bring the presence of God, do you know the superiority about that? That presence mobilizes every angelic ministry. But if you only depend on angelic ministry, angels function in rank and in different parastatals, healing spirits, all those. So, sometimes some people are only prophetic angels. The only thing they can do is to see you are wearing red, you are wearing whatever, even though that is not prophetic. Actually, that's simply word of knowledge. The gift doesn't qualify you to be a prophet. Even though if you are a prophet, you should have the gift. But having the gift doesn't make you a prophet. Are you with me? Yeah, you didn't even get this thing, so let's do this. It is not this that makes you a prophet. So all those people that is having word of knowledge, that is not, they are not prophets, my friend. Some of them are simply evangelists. That God gave that gift as a tool to win souls. And he said they are prophets. Who made them prophets? You know what is, who is a prophet? These men have rank to change the structure of the territory. The configuration of a territory responds to their grace. They are intercessors in mood. Those men can pray and they can pray and they can pray and you say they are prophets. A prophet must pray. You can't pray, then you are not a prophet. So those men you are seeing are marudas. They don't understand the functionalities of the things of the spirit. They have laid waste the things that are sacred. That is why God is calling some of you, so that he will restore the waste places. So that he will heal the bridges, lay hands on you, and begin to work out new things with a new generation, men that have submitted to his government. And new things will become possible in our time, simply because one or two of us submitted to the Holy Spirit again. Who is the prophet? The one that says you are wearing red pants. No, that's not a prophet. A prophet is a man that has stature to bring the word of God to the people. And when he brings the word, there is always a sign to back up his authority. Because there must be a way to authenticate that which you brought from God. If it is true, it's coming from God. Then there will be things to back it up. Attendant authority. A prophet from a place, he said he came to the altar that was at Bethel. And he prophesied against him. He said, altar, O altar. He said, thus is the Lord. He said, this will be a sign that God spoke of this thing. He said, the altar will break into two. And one of the false worshippers said, catching his hand on the prophet. He has stature to reconfigure things. You will think that he is sitting with you. The Bible says Elijah was standing before those false prophets. But when he uttered his word, we now found out that Elijah is not on earth, he is standing in heaven. He said, before the Lord God whom I stand, you are the one that thinks Elijah is on earth. He is not on earth, he is standing in heaven. You are seeing him physically, but his feet is planted in heavenly places. He has stature enough to cause changes. Oh my God. I don't want to go this night. Let's do small Bible study. Believe me, everybody in this session will not remain here. I pray that God answered me. That's why I'm saying. You are implicated by the answer that God gave to my prayer. If God didn't answer me, then no problem. But because he answered me, you are now implicated by the answer that God gave to my prayer. Are you not tired of doing your life in comparison to where God wants you to be? Believe in me, it's not about age, actually. Somebody told me to wait till I'm 40 years before I start. What you don't know is that the more the day is going, the more people are dying. Some of you here, the problem we are suffering in Nigeria, you are the one carrying the solution. But you will die with it. Until you manifest, that problem will continue to prolong. And you have to know, God's redemption is tied to men. The time that was stipulated for the Israelites to be saved from the land of Egypt is how many years? But we reached 430. And redemption is not in sight. Why? Because of one man. He is the one that carries the scepter that he takes for that generation to be saved. As long as he has not passed through the wilderness and he has not submitted properly to process to carry the weight of his coming. Deliverance will continue to be far for the people of God. When will you ask? When? Some of you are the one carrying the redemption of your campus, your family, your territory. The things will continue to be far. There are many, oh my God, I see the angels of God. Let's teach for 2 minutes. Oh God, help me to teach for 2 minutes. Help me. Jesus' name. Let's read Bible so that I'll be guided. Amen. Let's read Bible. We are still at Matthew chapter 17. There is a point I wanted to make. I think I have a few more minutes, not more than 20 minutes to stay. 20, 25 minutes. Then Jesus answered and said, okay, we are in verse what now? 15, let me start from 15. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into fire, and oftentimes into water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless, my God, my God. Have you noticed one thing? That anytime there is an assignment or somebody that is sick and there was no change in that matter, Jesus never tells the person that is suffering that the problem is his own. Anytime somebody is not healed, there is only one set of people that Jesus blames, his disciples. Have you heard preachers tell you don't have faith? That's why you didn't have. There is nothing like that. If the person has what it takes. Jesus, I know sometimes Jesus will say, your faith has made you whole. The truth is that Jesus is not depending on their faith. Whether they have faith or not. The truth is that for you to transact in the realm of the spirit, faith is the currency. The question is that it doesn't have to be the faith of the receiver. I can receive on your behalf. Are you with me now? So I'll make that prayer for people. I'll tell them, I receive this from the horn of the altar. I give it to you. You don't have the stature to go and receive it there. But I receive it. I have enough money in my bank to buy for you. Can't you buy, if you have 20 million, can't you buy a car of 5 million and give somebody? Why can you do it? Because you have enough on your bank to buy and give another person. So the person that is saying you can't buy because you don't have money is simply because he doesn't have enough money. Because if he has enough money and he's willing, he can buy for you. So what is important is that we need faith for that transaction. But the faith can come from the giver or the receiver. And most times, Jesus doesn't blame the people if they didn't have the faith to receive. He blames his disciples for not having enough faith to minister to them. It is on this wise that where we read now said, what? Oh, faithless. You are ministering to somebody and he didn't receive. Jesus is telling you that he's ministering, that the fault is not from the person you are talking to. It's from you. The day you realize it, even as a minister, you will leave the people and work on yourself. So when I come and things are not happening the way I want, I will not blame people. I don't blame people. I blame myself. If you are on fire, people will be on fire. If you are holy, they will be holy. If you are diligent, they will be diligent. Anything you are, they become. So people can only conform to the level that you have conformed to. You can't bring people higher than you are at this day. So what I do is that I stop complaining. I go and cook my... When you cook yourself enough on a particular matter or on many matters, what you will notice is that without you saying anything, people will be compelled to do those things. You know what I'm saying? So don't say, people don't like coming to fellowship, people, they don't... No, it's your fault. If Jesus is your pastor, what will he tell you? Will he blame the people or will he blame you? So let's put the blame where it belongs. I'll blame myself. The fault is from me. The reason why people are not healed is my fault. The reason why they didn't come is my fault. The reason why it's my fault. If I do it, if I've done what I should do from my own end, we will have results. And most times we don't depend on people to have those sort of results. Meanwhile, that is not my point. See, my point is the second. Jesus, there are two names Jesus gave them. My sister, what are those names? Number one is O Faithless. Number two is what? I want to start this morning. I just started my teaching now. What does it mean to be Papa's generation? What does Jesus mean? My brother, what's your name? Favor, what does Jesus mean by Papa's? The Lord will help us. What does Jesus mean by Calvary? Uncle, my Kobana and Sally, Kamonta, going your way out of the way of God. Rebellious. Stubborn. Who again has answer? Lack of focus, Turning away from something that is morally right. Not having a strong mind. Yes. Derailing. Yes. Men of little faith. We have already handled faith now. Yeah. We have faithless and perverse. Stubborn. Okay. I want to take somebody's answer. That's why I almost took your own, but should I take your own? Abusing me, right, please. Anyway, first thing you should understand, first point, first thing you should establish in your heart, in biblical exegesis, is that English meaning is not equal to biblical meaning. Is never the same. If you don't know that, you will never be good in revelation. So if I ask you what's the meaning of something, the answer in your dictionary is not the answer. If at all you want a basic understanding of what it means, you might have to, you can use another dictionary. There is a Bible dictionary. Most times, self. That is not the revelation behind it is not the Bible dictionary definition, but at least Bible dictionary gives you the Bible, at least the Bible meaning of what it said. But when Jesus says perverse, remember he is looking at his disciples. You know, there's a way to understand scripture. In my own opinion, I thought he would have turned to the Pharisees and everybody and called them perverse. Who did he call perverse? Are you not shocked that he turned to his disciples and called them perverse? That's why I wanted to pick the two of your answers. Do you know why? Jesus has ranked these two sets of people differently. As far as he's concerned, he has passed his disciples through an educational system. So when you pass, when you are studying, let's say you are, who is that my friend that is doing by chem? Okay, how many years? After 4 years, what are you expected to become? So after 4 years, you do not become anything. You don't even know how to form test tubes. What would Jesus call you? Say perverse. If Jesus is your lecturer, he will call you what? So, Jesus passed them through a school. The other people, he's not concerned about them. These are men he has taught, invested in, imparted, released many, taught many secrets. And then these men actually found out the opposite of what he's teaching them.
The very first thing that they will deal with as a result of their grace and teaching has been molded to conquer is the first thing that conquered them. What would you call those people? You call them perverse. For these are men that became opposite of what the educational system structure in the kingdom is supposed to make them out of. Make out of them, rather. So Jesus intends to make out of you maybe a powerful person. But after all the teaching and impartation, you are still full of fear. What would Jesus call it? You are perverse. Because the very grace that made men didn't make it. The very teaching that made men didn't make it. You sat under great men of God, sat under powerful teaching, listen to all the great men of God. You have listened to Apostle Aaron, Sherman, everybody. Yet you did not become the content of what they are saying. What are you? A perverse generation. So Jesus is not angry with people that have not heard this truth. He is not angry with people that have not passed through the educational system. He is not angry with people that have not received empowerment, that have not received grace. He is talking about people that have been impacted with light and grace. And then the very type of the trouble that that grace is supposed to suffer and bring solution to came, and they were not able to do anything. They all faithless. And Papa said, how long will I be with you? That's the question. Do you see? That question now will now show you that this is the meaning. He said, how long will I be with you? So that means that my being with you is to an end. So that you become a calcification of that which I'm trying to teach. The Bible says that the church is the ground and pillar of truth. What does it mean? What does it mean? Is a gun and pillar of truth. Let your answer be as good as this of mine. You actually tried it. You don't know how much you tried. I'm telling you, I'll give you 50%. You try. But let me simply tell you what it means. It means that, you know, truth is realities in God. So, because they are realities in God, people cannot easily relate with those realities. Are you with me now? So, the scripture saying that the church is a ground and pillar. You know what is ground and pillar now? Say pillar. Ground. It means that church has become the environment in the earth realm where the truth of God has been calcified in such a way that a normal person can touch it. So if people want to touch healing, they don't need to go to heaven. What they need to do is to what? Touch the church. The church has become the embodiment of those mysteries calcified in such a way that an average person can touch it. Holiness, touch the church. Meekness, touch the church. Humility, touch the church. Power, touch the church. Excellence, touch the church. So God invested all of himself into the church and converted it in a mode such that a normal person in touching the church will touch that reality of God. It is on this wise that the Apostle Paul now said that the church is what? A ground and pillar of truth. So truth has come in a mode that men can touch it. And this is only found in the circumference of what? The church. So anybody that doesn't interact with the church, can he interact with truth? See, this is a body. One of the things God must teach you is what we call body making. Do you know what is body? What are you studying? I won't ask you. Who is it? Are you the only one who is studying anything connected to anatomy and all that? Anatomy? You? Who? Microbiology. Where are you?
My people have disappeared. They are in church. They don't want to raise their hand. Okay, this is what I mean. It is anatomy now. One of the things they look into is the structure of the body and how one point in the body relates with another to make a whole. If you must succeed, if you call this a body, if you must succeed, you must find out what we call the anatomy of the body of Christ. How does head and hand work together? It is a deliberate effort. If you don't know it, you will not, you'll be called a body in mouth. You are not a body in reality. And if you are not a body, you will never accomplish much. Because God's investment is in the view that a body will be raised for him. The target of God from eternity past. I'm not saying in time. The target of God is to raise for himself a man. And a time will come, that man will become the corporate man. A man first. And then a corporate man second. I know you don't know what I'm saying. It might take you, you are listening to this. It might take you like, I see the way you are removing your people. I know you are off. It is not your fault. All of us, we are there. It might take you like 5 years. That's if you are consistent. No, I'm being lenient to some of the people here. If you take them 10 years after, you are just 21, 20. By 30, you now understand when life has dealt with you. You finish school, no job, no husband. Then you begin to understand some things. These things I'm saying will mean many things to you. You will cry out to Jehovah as the only help. When your siblings start crying, are you the first one? They will call you. They have not called you. You don't know what I'm saying. They will call you to a thing. You say you want to find God. They will call you in a family meeting and say, you have a bright future. That is, if your parents are ministers and they understand it, they say you have a bright future. That this thing you are doing, you are suffering. It was then that they advised me, age 40, start. Enjoy your life more. Do you know why that? They know the suffering that is in ministry. So they don't want me to suffer. Enjoy life more. Say, enjoy life. You are not saying, say, enjoy life. You get a dancer, get a job, get children, enjoy life, because Jesus is coming soon. It is then that you will start hearing my voice again. You don't know what I'm telling you. Jesus said that there is some of the people here that will be alive until I come back. What does it mean? It means that your voice will continue to speak to the church until Jesus comes back. So you, in 10 years time, you now hear my voice, because my voice won't die. I speak from eternity. I reach down inside there, and I bring things from that scope, and I bring it into time. And it is coming from eternity. Nothing in time can have a hold on it. It is as powerful and as stateless as eternity itself. I'm not speaking to excite you. I'm speaking to bring you into economy that is beyond man. So that the Bible says, I say unto you, ye are what? But you will die like men. Meaning that there are facilities in you. You can decide to live like a normal man. And then you can decide to live like the man that God saw. All is given to your decision and choices. I'm tempted to shift. Because the thing I'm feeling here is very strong. Are you? It's very strong. My God. I like the way you are paying attention. May God touch you in Jesus' name. It's not easy to sit and listen to people. It's not also easy for you to speak the way we do. I know you think it's easy. You think it's easy, Abby? It's not easy. Some of the things you think I'm saying easily is not easy. This is a product of many years of duty. Many sleepless nights. The way you don't sleep to read your books, that's the way I don't sleep to find out these things from the Word of God. So some of the things I'm telling you, I'm making easy for you. It took me 5-10 years to find out that truth. And you are just giving, that's why, because you don't know, and you don't want to know, God will keep it. Next 10 years, you will now call you back. Because there are two ways to enter into the economy of God, either by revelation or by dealing. There is only one way to enter into God's economy. Number one is what? Number two is what? It's better you receive by revelation. Else you receive by dealing. If God wants to teach you surrender and you receive, if you refuse, He can allow you to have 2 extra years. Do they do extra year in this school? The way you are looking at it, it seems as if this school is so good. The school I went to, the lecturer will come and tell you, your destiny is in my hands. I know your school is not like that. My own, he tell you, your destiny is in my hands. So when we come to, there is a place called Jindal, University of Nigeria. When we come there, you see, in our first, second year, we see reg numbers, that is 1995. Are you born in 95? I know you are not born. Even if you say yes, I will know you are alive. You will see reg numbers, 96, 97, 98, 1990. Talking about 2829. And the person will still tell you, your destiny is in his work. There is even one man that went and married, finished bearing children. Are you with me? Finished bearing children and came back. Let me tell you, if God is really interested in you, he will do anything to break your way. So, the only way, there are 2 ways. One is to see, as I'm talking now, you yield on the basis of this revelation. Whichever thing you perceive that God is telling you to do, let me tell you, the proof of encounter is instruction. So, if God didn't tell you, you didn't receive any instruction from him, it is a fake. That one can't lie. Maybe you just said good. But if you really have the encounter, God will tell you from today, start doing this, or don't do this, or deal like this. Or day like this, because the proof that you have now had the encounter and you have now increased in grace is the obedience that is in your life. There is no obedience without instruction. No, it's when you are giving instruction, you now what? That is the proof of encounter. So, as God is, and meanwhile, I hope you know there are diverse encounters. It's not just that you are cut off to heaven. My brother, many of the people cut off to heaven, we didn't see much from them after that time. You can have an encounter from this Word of God. Somebody like me, I don't have too much encounters. My encounters are drastic, but it's not much. It's not every week. No, it's not for me. There are people, anytime they sleep, they have an encounter. Anytime they have a sister, anytime. Even me. Have you seen some of those people? They talk about the encounter like this. Even if you've been intimidated, then you go to mountain 7 days. Oh God, give me an encounter. There is no purpose to you praying for encounter. There is no reason for the encounter. It's just to have the encounter so that they will count you among people that also work. See, it's purposeless. And because God loves you, he won't give you any encounter. If he doesn't like you, he will give you so that he will settle you. Because if you don't make Jesus your one and unique goal, you make power your goal, make encounter your goal, make anything your goal except Jesus himself. You can either get it or you may not get it. Let's say you got it and then what? Let's say you didn't and then what? You see? So it becomes a challenge. That after his encounter, you now had the encounter, won't you settle? Won't you settle? You are praying for first class and then you have first class. God has done it for me. He has done for me. He has done for me. What my father can not do. Sing with me now. You need to pray one prayer. May I never be satisfied with anything except you, Jesus. You don't know how powerful that prayer. God can settle you with husband. God can even settle you with ministry. Ministry. You are a man of God. God will settle you with ministry. Our goal is not ministry. Our goal is God, even as men of God. Do you know the problem in the body of Christ? There are many people that is even in ministry that their goal is ministry, not God. So, you can be building something like this and God will tell you, leave it, let's go. Not. You can't leave it. You know why you can't. Your goal has always been ministry, not God. So if God tells you leave, you can't leave. That's why genuine people that God has touched, well, they will tell you that, as I am standing here, if God tells me, okay, it's over. Come over to the village. Come over abroad, wherever. I will not even ask twice. Once I finish here, over. Philip can be going. God will say, we are going to Samaria today. He said, okay. He finished on Samaria. He said, we are going to. He said, okay. You can tell Peter, come to Joppa. He said, okay. He will go there, they will decide him to stay for 1 week. He said, okay. 95% of men of God in Nigeria, if you tell them to leave their church, they will refuse. Do you know why? Ministry is their goal, not God. That's why God can't detach them from me. I tell you, my brother, the greatest price I've paid so far in ministry, is sacrificing ministry. The greatest price I paid. I thought it was God I loved. I didn't know his ministry. No, I love God, but in the context of ministry, as much as ministry is moving forward, my love for God was consistent. When the ministry was taken, I found out that it was really ministry that I loved. Ministry was ruined, and it was dragged away. My heart was bleeding blood. Literally, that's when I knew it was ministry that I really loved. And for 1 year, God did not say anything. I have to reevaluate my love project. What is your love project? What is your love project? If you want to be accurate in your relationship with God, you have to reevaluate your love project once in a while. What is God touching you now? Yes. I don't know. This video that I'm telling you, you need to know what we have done. That's after I finished my Kaduna crusade and cripples walked and stuff happened. So now I say, no ministry for 1 year. The one I'm doing, shut down. People have gathered everything. I said, God, what is this? This is where we are going now. Is this not what we are laboring for? The thing has started. He has opened. You don't know. Have you been able to successfully on your own gather 50 people in the village? Then you will know the pain of ministry. And then God said, leave it. I don't deliver more. That's what happened to some men of God. And because of the price you have paid, God cannot abandon you like that. Do you know what he will do? He will settle you. He will settle you with ministry. And then eternal things still residing in him. We still continue. Because there are things that are rewards.
action is a reward. It is not a gift. It is a cumulative, stature is cumulative effect of obedience in the kingdom. When you have obeyed and obeyed and obeyed and obeyed, you have track record of obedience in the kingdom. Then God will grant you stature. Then on your account, many things will be changing, can change or remain the same in the territory. Haven't you noticed that we can have 1,000 pastors and something will be happening in this state? None of them can speak and be changed with things. Meanwhile, Elijah doesn't have any church. He's not even in the temple. He will come and say, before the Lord comes, do my work. When he finishes, he will go inside on the mountain and start eating locusts and whatever. You are holding on to your faith. I'm in a cathedral. Jesus said this. Then he stopped talking like this. Are you seeing him? You will be holding on to your husband and your wife. This is the message I was preaching. I preached this message for 10 years. This thing I'm preaching now. And one day the message said, for you, the one I'm looking at you, you won't marry us. The lady said, you won't work. The way I'm looking at you, you won't marry. But that's not the point. If you don't understand the point, you miss the point. Are you saying his marriage is good? Better find what God is doing. If you marry and die, your husband will marry another person. Better make Jesus your goal. If you die, don't you think he will marry another person? He's a need. He will love you. He loves you. Ijoma, he loves you. He will now stay for 3 years. So preserve your memory. Stay 3 years. After 3 years, he finds himself another dancer. Even Reverend Dr. W.F. Kumu is married at 70-something. You need to ask questions again, my sister. He's not only in great men of God. Men of God, that it is elders that will come and advise you, it's even good for you to marry. Can't stay alone. Charles Giffin married 2 times. Many men of God, John Lake married 2 times. All the great men, they married 2 times. Because the life of the minister is too stressful that the woman can't cope up. The reason why the man is coping up is that there is a garment of glory that is hanging on him, sustaining him beyond the mortal capacity. You don't know. Sometimes we go for 4 or 5 days without eating. I'll preach for 5 days without eating. Try it. Try to even fast. Have you fasted 3 days dry? You need to try it one day, sweet. When you enter the second day, let me tell you what will happen. Have you ever slept and you wonder, why did the day break so fast? When you are fasting, on the second day, sleep will run away. You are struggling with oversleep, fasting. Just fast. You will now sleep, and then some sleep won't even come, but when it comes, you will now be sleeping. You know, there's a way you will be sleeping, you know you slept for long. You started to have sleep by yourself in the night. You sleep for long, after that long sleep, you wake up, you still too. You'll be begging for daybreak. Who put me in this thing now? Who caught me into this house now? You are struggling with oversleep. Just try it. Try. With water only. Don't fast without water. You enjoy yourself. I don't care whether you call it dry. Even if it's 6 to 6, fast with water. I bring you news for many years experience. Don't fast without water. The Bible says after 40 days, Jesus hungered. He didn't say he fasted. You have not read your Bible.
Are you with me? In fact, as you drink water, there is detoxification, all the coke you have drank. All those new junk that is in your system. That's why on the second day, try to stand up now. Your head will be turning like this. There is those early days I try to do. It seems as if I went to hell, came back, and then I was moving around. You see what happened? I grabbed one pillar. I did like this. And then after 1 minute, I was able to stable myself. It was when I started studying that I now learned what was happening to me. So if you fast like that, you don't just get up. You just sit on a seat. No, this is what you do. Stabilize yourself. Then you stand up. You don't just stand. If you stand, you can fall and injure yourself. And faint even. There are many things we know. And some of them we learn by experience. If God showed us mercy because we misbehaved. His mercy, strong mercy. Some of them as a result of my mother's prayer. Many people's prayer. Some people did it and died. I finished 5 days fasting and used swallow. Very strong swallow. And I even did 1.5 days. When I finished, I went to my room and fainted. Literally. I fainted from 8 to 11 in the night. I didn't know now. I didn't know. But you now know. Say, I now know. So when you have paid all this price in ministry, when you refuse to obey God on His present revelation and instruction for you, what will you do? Because of the things you have done, He will set you. But the reality is that it is Him that grants men stature will be over. I pray that the day of Moses will come in our generation. There is a desire that Moses had. What was his desire? That was the desire of Moses. Because then the Spirit of God comes on 1 or 2. And the job was too much for the few. Are you getting the point? The few that were able to tap into that grace, the job was too much for him. So he desired. He said, I pray that all the lost people will be prophets. If all the lost people coming into this economy, Satan will see their friends. That is my desire. When you take it to yourself, I will not be able to show you, because my time is over, I will not be able to show you the doctrines behind this. But there are 3 major things you take heed to. When you take heed to them, then the process that God is putting you through, the educational system that is in the kingdom, will make you into what God intends. The Bible said in the book of Colossians chapter 4, in verse 17, He said, take heed to thyself. So the first thing you take heed to, if you will ever become, if you will not be perverse, what is my self? The problem, remember we started talking, Jesus called His disciples, oh, ye perverse generation. These are people that partook of an educational system, and yet they did not become the intent that motivated that system. Jesus was frustrated. How long will I be with you and you not become anything? How long? How long does it take? How long do you think it takes? Remind me your name. Christopher. How long does you take? Do you think it takes? For you to become what God intends by educational system that you have submitted you, how long does it take? It takes yieldedness. It takes surrender. Yieldedness. Willingness. As long as you are willing, that's what it will take.
If it took you 10 years to heed the things that God is saying, how long did it take to become? 10 years. If it took you 20 to heed, it will take 20. If it took you 40, if it took you 6 months, I've seen people that were born again in 6 months, what they became. I was shocked. Do you know why? They yielded. They yielded. So first thing is to take heed to thyself. The second thing is to take heed to thy doctrine. And the third thing is to take heed to thy ministry. The two tests I would have analyzed if I had time was 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16 and Colossians chapter 4 verse 17. First thing is what? Take heed to yourself. I don't have time to analyze this, but what you become is so much about you. Many years ago, I'll just tell you this story and then we'll pray. There is also take heed to your ministry. In that place, in the book of Colossians, Paul was talking to, I think, Archippus. He said, take heed to your ministry. To what? Fulfill it. It means that God comes and tells you what to do as it pertains to your ministry. Anything you are doing outside of what God told you to do, He is not aware. You will not believe this, but He's not aware. When God comes to reward people, He doesn't reward you by so much activity. He rewards on the basis of faithfulness. You know what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is God told you to stand here, you stood. Even when there are many temptations to do many other things, you are faithful to your calling. I'm telling you. Impact is the last thing. Meanwhile, impact is what people use to measure how much people will receive rewards. No. The highest is faithfulness. And faithfulness is that God told you, for now, remind me your name. Marvelous. For now, marvelous. Your job is to bring this thing and keep it here in the morning. In the evening, you take it and keep it here. Do it for 3 weeks. Then somebody came and told you, do you know the remaining thing now is to carry this one home? Then do that. Do that. See, you can do it. You can do it. And then, pressure. And then you do it. In fact, you do it so much so that people will say, you know how to do it well. That you see, I think this is your calling. When God comes calling, I'm not even talking about last day. I'm talking about there are seasons and times that God has put in His power. Oh, do you know? There is such a thing as seasons and times that God has put in His power. When those times come, these are the seasons of reward. I'm not talking about eternal reward yet. This is where God grants men stature, rank, and brings them to the last place in the spirit. Have you heard about where the Bible spoke up in the book of Psalms that the Lord has brought me to the wealthy place? That thing has nothing to do with the natural. I know people are using to quote about money and wealth and no. That wealthy place is a spiritual place. Do you know what it means to come into the wealthy place of the spirit? It means that concerning a matter, God has granted you rest. There are people that God has granted rest concerning matters. You, before you tap into that, you labor a lot. But for them, they don't need to labor.
They simply need to obey, thanksgiving, and then they flow in it. For example, there are certain dimensions of manifestation that is rare for me. We don't need sound, we don't need anything. We can start in the next 2 minutes. Do you believe it? Whether you believe it or not, it's not my problem. I don't need your faith in this one. I'm giving you news. And I've done it in very hard environment. So, the environment that if you are there, you can't even pray. Have you not come under environments that you are struggling to pray? You that is prayer machine, you can't pray there. You will suffocate the life that is in you. But we come there and Satan makes room for us. Because God has brought us to a worthy place in the spirit. These are results of rewards that God has put in seasons that he has put in his power. Huh? These are results that come to us as a result of faithfulness to the place that God has put us. So, the scripture says, take heed to thyself. I was fasting those days when I was in the University of Nigeria. I fasted the Lord. Do you fast? How much? I like it, say small. You know you fast a lot, raise your hand. How much do you fast? Once in a week, 12 hours, 6 to 6, every week, and you say you are fasting. Okay, that one is not fasting. You are just preparing to fast. Maybe by next 3 years you'll be ready. You have not even measured up to basic requirements of a normal Pharisee. A normal Pharisee fasts 2 times a week, from dusk to dawn. Pharisee. And Jesus said, your righteousness will be higher than their own. So we should be expecting 3 times a week from you. So the basis, we are not saying you are now, no, the normal believer, the normal Christian. Say normal Christian. 3 times. How many times a week? The normal Christian is how many times? So, you see the problem with some people like you? You are local champion. And if God wants to, no, it's not something to laugh for. If God wants to show you mercy, he now brings you to a certain place and then he'll be humble. Just like if I ask you how long you pray now, you come and tell me 2 hours. How long do you pray? Now, this is not something to laugh. Some of you laughing, you are less, you are down. Your matter is not even up for discussion. His matter is up for discussion because God has indicted it that the quota of sacrifice he's bringing is not enough to trigger what he desires in the spirit. That is why I have, the reason I'm putting this matter is to answer a question you have been asking. Calm down. So, your own has not even come. It's over. Your matter is not up for discussion. The judge has not called your case yet. It is when they call your case, you now start saying, should the judge call your case? No, no need. Now, let me tell you. A believer should pray normal. Jesus said, can't you watch with me for an hour? So, a believer should pray 1 hour in a day. Meanwhile, you need to know what Jesus calls a day. What does Jesus call a day? According to the scripture, what does Jesus call a day? The day is from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Then the night is from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So what you call a day is not what Jesus calls a day.
So what you call a day, if you want to fulfill the quota that Jesus said, you should pray for how long? Because the day in Jesus is counting is how many hours? 12 hours. The normal Christian should pray how long in a day?
My sister, I can't talk now.
People have gone silent. This is normal Christian life. Say normal Christian life. It's not, there's nothing extra. It's normal Christian life. If you talk about extra, we can't tell you. Like sometimes this my brother here clocks 8 hours every day. I'm saying don't go and count corporate prayers as among the prayer you pray though. Some of you is counting corporate prayer. No, that's not what I mean. You gather in the evening and pray for 2 hours. You say, I prayed 2 hours yesterday. It is not among. We still gather every day and grow for 2-3 hours. Outside of your 8 hours quota. I mean, sometimes it's more, sometimes it's 12. We speak of what our hands have handled, and I know it's possible. Before we came here, we woke up in the morning and continued praying. Prayed till evening, nothing happened. We went back to the hotel room and continued praying. Prayed till the night, nothing happened. Prayed till morning, nothing happened. It was after 2 days, by 4 p.m., that when the release came in our spirit. You pray for 30 minutes. I want God to come down on this tour.
You have not answered me.
You don't want to see people like you. Jesus, the Bible spoke about Jesus. He said, sometimes he goes out to pray and he prays all night. The Bible says the disciple has to be like the master. Meanwhile, this is a man that has the fullness of the Spirit. The Spirit was given to him without measure. Why is he still fasting and praying? Mother Lord, we need to go and answer this question now. Jesus is still praying. Pray, and pray till daybreak. In one of those days, he finished praying, and he did, in my own opinion, he didn't realize, he didn't know. He prayed so much that he was caught up in the glory, and he was walking on water. I don't believe he intentionally did it. His disciples have gone far, he need to catch up with them. So he just said, hey, my disciples, so, and it was water. That's the life the believer lives, natural, supernatural. Hey, my money has finished, so let money enter my account. Pam, thank you in account. Nobody sent it. We talk about things you have seen. It is not as if you are trying to do miracle money. It so happens that as you are living the supernatural life, it so happens. Are you not getting the point? You are not planning to heal mad person. You just start. You finish groaning for 6 hours on this because of somebody sick, sat on it and got healed. Did you plan it? The life of the belief, you should live the supernatural unconsciously. You people don't know the amount of power that is locked in your spirit.
Hey!
The day you know, you don't know, that's why you don't fast and pray. The day you know, you fast and pray like a madman, then you become a god. You don't know how heavy your destiny is. When you are supposed to be ruling, people are ruling you. Pray, help me and realize, help me. Open my eyes to see. The prophet Elijah prayed a prayer for his servant. He said, Lord, open the eyes of my brother. Somebody make this prayer. Make this prayer. Many things will realign in your life. You begin to do some things, not because it was said, but because you have seen the weight of your destiny. Zato, Krapo, Sabananta. If now you are alone with Jesus, settle some things now. He said, open the eyes of my servant that he might see. And suddenly the eyes of the servant was opened. And he saw chariots of fire round about the whole mountain. You don't know the chariots of God that has been sent from heaven. The equipment and resources, the mandate that God has given to you. You are not coming into the full economy of his manifestation. Reason being that your eyes have not been able to see the depth, the height, the length. Open our eyes, O God, that we might see. Open our eyes that we might see. Open our eyes that we might see. So bring the Papa has the parent. So for the next 2 minutes. Satanta Baparanta Grata Babanantelia. Shadianta Boko Patabadan Abenata Danada. Ambra Kutatabradamanante, Bretted, Shabrata Patakabrana Paparato Stabanatalia. I grow Satadanta, Ratapatanta Dedia. Make sure you are praying. Satabanta, Bratapatabadaka Stabatalia. Let the prayer come from the depth of your heart. Let it be a cry. Let it be a heart cry. A heart cry. Once it's a heart cry, God will respond. Let the prayer not just be on your lips. Let it be on your heart. Ratoska brenda papananta. Letokoska brata bananta. Shabretepete tembro kapata. Kapata benate. Ratapapa banta. Ratatukaskota dentelia. Shabrata Padanta in the next 2 minutes. Rapela, Rapela, Kapenanta, Krata Papanantele. Ia Bretepetepetente, Lepokopetes Kapanata. Shabrata Padanta Kapantele. Abrako Patakambe Bebenente Libanada. Goitale, Goitale. O God, O God. O God, O God. O God, O God. Shabrata, Shabrata. Atrepe patan satan betepete, rapata betepete, rapata betepete, asuata kapanta brata bakatata, isakata bakam betepetente, rapata babadinata nidata kabenatoa, asuata patakam brata bata, iakata kata bakata. In the next 1 minute, somebody pray, aikapetunda kapranda kapanata dutananta, isakata patakam betepetente, I broke up at a cambre de pedente, Rapata brata pavata danta, I broke up at a cabena, I sat up at a cambre de pedente, Rapata pata cambre de pedente, Masta pedanta, in the next 30 seconds, Isaprata pananta, Rapata patata, I capeta dente, Rapatante, Rapata brata pavata cambre de pedente, Shakatwa, not for coming, bring your heart. Isakatayla Tekota Kamretaya, Rakata Patata Kastatana, Ambra Kabata Kamretetetetra, Isakrata Pata Kamretetetetra, Ramana Kamretaya, Apoko Pata Kapata Kapatatua, Ramana Kapatatele, Rakata Pata Papanante Kapona, Kapona Kapona, Apoko Pata Pata Kapana Tele, Rakata Pata Pamananta Kapana Tua, Aipata, Jesus, 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 Jesus,
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. There is somebody in our midst. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. There is somebody in our midst. The hand of God will come upon that person, and the person will have an encounter for 3 days. Holy Ghost, help me and find the person. 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 Put your hands stronger. Put your hands. He's a lady. He's a lady going under power. Bring the lady for me. He's a lady. Bring that lady for me. There's a lady there. Let me put my hands on her. Somebody help me. There is somebody else that is receiving an empowerment. You have prayed for this thing for a while. Somebody should have just. Just allow her on the ground. As I pray now, the hand of God will come upon you. It's an empowerment, an equipment, an impartation. An empowerment, an equipment, an impartation. Holy Ghost, help me now. 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 That power, Holy Ghost. There's an empowerment coming now. There's an empowerment. There's an empowerment. There's an empowerment. I will count to 7. Just 1 to 7. And God will move in our midst. And there will be impartation. Holy Spirit in touch with fresh grace. Fresh impartation. At the count of 7. 1. Holy Ghost. It's coming stronger. 2. It's coming stronger. 3. It's coming stronger. 4. 5, 6, 7, now. Put your hands stronger, Holy Ghost. Put your hands stronger, Holy Ghost. Put your hands stronger. Put your hands, strong 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 hands, Holy Ghost. Strong hands, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' most righteous name, we are saved. Hallelujah. Quickly, before we just take our